Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning, and we give you a very warm welcome into God's house this morning. If you're watching online, you're very welcome also. We're delighted to have as our speaker this morning, Mr. Tommy Anderson from, we've got a lot of folk from Lurgan Baptist at the minute, and we're very thankful for them. And so we have another one this morning. Tommy also works with World Gospel Mission. We've had Tommy before, but not recently, so it's great to have him back in our pulpit again this morning. Don't forget, at 5 o'clock this evening, we have our prayer meeting. It'd be great even just come along a bit earlier, come in and pray for the evening service and the work of the church. And then at 6 o'clock this evening, for our evening service, we do welcome back Tommy. He'll be taking the evening service as well. Thursday, 7:30, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. We have as our speaker Andrew Daly. He's continuing his series of studies. And then we're also having Andrew next Sunday for both of our services. That's 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening. Now, next Sunday is our 10th Sunday, which is a missionary project. So every 10 Sundays, the entire offering, whether it comes in through the day or through the following week, it goes towards a missionary project. And this Sunday is going towards our own folk, those who are working full time from the church serving the Lord. A couple of other announcements. The Child Evangelism Fellowship are running another of their Teaching Children Effectively courses. If you work with young people, you'll find this course very useful. So it's the first year. And if you are interested in it, please speak to me and I'll give you all the details. But the entries or the applications have to be in by the 14th of March. Margaret Starrett has a number of books on the life of Bill Woods. So if you would like to read about this amazing man, then speak to her. I think the books are around £6, but she can keep you right about that. Then on our church prayer calendar this morning, we are remembering the Ladies' Fellowship. They meet on the first Wednesday of the month, and ladies, if you haven't been along to it, that's an invitation. Gives you plenty of time to get ready for our the one in February. Then, on behalf of our church, can I express sympathy to our brother Gordon Flanagan on the death of his brother in Australia. So pray for Gordon and the family circle at this time. And of course, remember those others who have been bereaved recently. Those are all the announcements. They're made, of course, God willing. And I'm just going to ask Sam now to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, as we come again once more before the throne of grace on this Lord's Day, Lord, we come with hearts of worship, Lord. Lord, we come to the Creator of heaven and earth, our Creator, the God who made us, who breathed life into Adam's nostrils, Lord, and that life continues, it's extended right to this point, Lord. And Lord, we are just gathered here in awe and reverence at you, Lord, at your sovereignty, at your unknowable majesty, Lord, at your intelligence, at your wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for all of the creation, Lord, which we witness. Lord, we thank you again for Calvary. Lord, had it not been for Calvary, Lord, none of us would be here because, Lord, it's because of Calvary, it's because of Jesus, it's because of your Son. Lord, it's because of Jesus we're here. It was all done at Calvary, Lord. It was Calvary where we were redeemed, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the church. Lord, not just this beautiful building, Lord, but all those that are gathered here that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That church, Lord, that has been going on through generation and generation, Lord. Lord, that church that you have continued to build just as you said. So, Lord, it's not our work, Lord. Lord, no man or woman can take any glory. Lord, it's all you. It's all you, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Lord, as we were reminded last Lord's Day, Lord, your love. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for making your love known to us. Lord, we thank you for demonstrating your love so undeniably, Lord. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for placing that love within us. Lord, we thank you for giving us that consciousness of it, that experience of it, Lord. Lord, that reassurance of it, the healing of it, the power of it. Lord, we thank you for your love. And Lord, speaking of love, Lord, we thank you even for that little fellowship that our brother just reminded us of today, Lord, the ladies' fellowship, Lord, and the love, Lord, that we trust is so ever present in it. Lord, we thank you for that essential role of the woman, Lord. Lord, that role not just within our church, Lord, not just within the body, Lord, not just within the home or society, Lord, it's across all of life. And Lord, we thank you for the ladies' fellowship, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the ladies' fellowship would be strengthened, that it would be encouraged. Lord, we pray that all those that are gathered there, Lord, they would have a clear message from you, Lord, that you would speak to them and that you would leave them in no doubt, Lord, that they are special, that you love them, that they have a very special purpose and a unique purpose as well, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak clearly through your word to them. Lord, we pray that you would draw even the young women to the ladies' fellowship. Lord, in these busy times that we find ourselves, Lord, with even family commitments and work commitments, Lord, it's so hard sometimes to find time. And yet, Lord, we know from your word that it's important for the younger women to spend time with the older women. Lord, we know those essential lessons that can be taught from those experiencing times. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the fellowship through that little ladies' fellowship. And Lord, this morning as we're gathered here in this service, Lord, with that very purpose, our special purpose to worship you, Lord, we pray that there would be a spirit of worship amongst us. Lord, we pray for solemnity. Lord, that there would be reverence, there would be awe. Lord, that there would be peace and stillness here. Lord, not even just within the atmosphere, Lord, even within our hearts, Lord, that we would hear your still small voice. Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, our hearts were grieved, and yet we recognize the truth, Lord, of our brother last week as he told that little story, Lord, of how often you can't even get into many of your own churches. Lord, churches that have your name. And Lord, we just want to tell you that, Lord, we want your presence here. We want you here this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, we know we're not perfect, but Lord, we are here as needy children, and we are coming to our Father in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're asking that your Spirit would be here. Lord, that it would be very evident. Lord, that we would go home rejoicing. Lord, that there would be something different about us, that you've changed us. Because, Lord, we know that we will continue to be changed. We will continue to be built up. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, that process would continue this morning. So, Lord, to that end, we just ask for a blessing, Lord, and protection on our brother Tommy. Lord, we pray that you would grant him liberty. Lord, we pray that he would know, Lord, even in his own spirit, that he's amongst family. Lord, that he would be able to speak, Lord, with unction, Lord, that he would have confidence that the words that he speak, Lord, are your words, and Lord, that it wouldn't be his voice that we would hear, but yours. So, Lord, we just commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, Sam. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Did your neighbors notice a smile on your face when you come out to church this morning? I'm looking around for one or two now. Well, I hope you're able to worship with a smile on your face today. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians about Jesus, saying that he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And our first song takes us from the cross through the resurrection and into glory. I want to remind you that the ladies and men will share the chorus. The ladies singing, "He lives," and the men responding, "I know he lives." The head that once was crowned with thorns. The musicians will play an introduction and we'll stand together to sing.
Service where we invite the children to come forward and to join in singing their own particular song. There's Ezra, first of the, well done. I wish he'd even half of his energy. I'd be doing well. And Harper. So if there's kids in the service this morning, we invite you to come forward and we'll sing.
practice the ocean. All right, we'll practice the action of the Holy Spirit. Everybody ready? Why is the ocean? Why is the heavens above? Deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. I, though so unworthy, still I'm a child with care. For his word teaches me that his love reaches me everywhere. Alrighty, you can manage that. And I will sing it three twice before you go to 7 6. Thank you, Will.
Scripture says a little child to lead them can lead us into enthusiasm and energy, which sometimes those of us that are getting a bit on in life can find a wee bit difficult to muster up. Just as we come to sing our next song together, we've already been reminded this morning in the announcements that Billy brought about those who have entered into a season of mourning because of the passing of loved ones during the week that has gone past. Some of you might know that this day last week, a close relative of Jim and Lily McTurnahan's was just suddenly called into eternity. She'd been in church that morning early, helping to prepare the communion emblems, felt unwell, went home, and the Lord took her to be with himself. And at the service of Thanksgiving on Thursday, one of the readings that was read was from Psalm 103. Here are some of the words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't it great to know as believers that we can bless the Lord? Praise him in each and every situation in life. So I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. If you're able, please stand as we sing through this little song, and we'll sing it through twice.
Thank you.
more song before Tommy comes to minister the word to us. Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, as you know, have written numerous hymns which are so helpful to us in worship. And one of the ones that's really very appropriate before we come to the message is this one. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. So as we sing it carefully, let's not just sing it, let's pray it.
Platform and bring God's word to us. Thank you so much.
Well, can I just say a word of thanks to, I think it was Mark who booked me a few months ago, and then Billy, who I've known for a long time, coming to Abbott's Cross over. I was just looking at over 30 years ago, we came first to Abbott's Cross. And it's lovely to be back here this morning with you. Brian said maybe it'd be good just to say a little bit about what you do, because some folk may not know what I'm involved in. In this last 30 years, we're now into our 31st year with the work of World Gospel Mission. And my wife and I used to take work teams, which Billy has been involved in Ukraine. But my wife and I, this last maybe 15 years, have redirected our ministry. The Lord has redirected our ministry, and we now work in mostly in Kenya, and we do a lot of holiday Bible clubs in Kenya. And if you're interested in doing holiday Bible clubs, where you get a lot of children who want to sing, who want to learn memory verses, who want to listen to stories, and you want large numbers of kids to talk to, then you see me afterwards on the way out and pick up one of those little leaflets and just fill it in, and just a little preliminary name and address, and they will keep you posted. We were out twice in the past year. We went out in April with a team, and then there just before Christmas, at the last week in November, first week in December. And those are the school holidays times for us when we go, so that we can obviously reach as many children as possible. We do two holiday Bible clubs, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So the first one, we head off just after 8 o'clock. We started at 9, and that runs through till 12:30. So it's a long morning doing holiday Bible club, and then after holiday Bible club, there's activities where it can be anything from skipping to football to painting nails for the girls. And people get involved and just bonding with the children during that time. And then in the afternoon, we go home and we get about an hour and a half lunch and break, and then off again at 2 o'clock for our second club, starting, God willing, around 20 past 2, and that takes us through to 5 o'clock. And by the time you come home, you're ready for a wash, a shower, whatever, some food, time of fellowship and prayer, and bed. And that lasts for a whole week in between our going there. It's usually about 12 or 13 days, counting travel at both ends. And so we had a tremendous year of 2023. We reached a lot of children. And we don't make appeals. We don't ask hands up, stand up if you want to receive Christ. We basically said to the children, if God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, you come and see us. After holiday Bible club's over, when others are playing, you come and see us. And you know, we had the joy this year of leading in April. My wife and I counseled 48 children for faith in the Lord, and there just back at the end of the year, 33 children came to faith in the Lord. And sometimes people say, is it real? Do these children go on with the Lord? What's the statistics? I don't know what the statistics are in their fullness. But let me give you an example of what happened in November and December that are just past. We went to a church that has there's no windows. Just got the walls and the roof. In fact, the walls are just columns at the moment. So they called it the open church. The church with no walls. Literally, it had no walls. You could walk in and out of any column. And I thought, how is this ever going to work? What's amazing was there was an electric plug in it. Now, the electric plug did not pass the law. It would not pass the law here. In fact, I said to the team, do not touch that plug. If anybody wants to die, I'm the oldest on the team, so let me go and just bury me in Africa. But do not touch that plug under any circumstances, because it's just dangling down. And there is a face, but there's no back. It just dangles. So the wires are behind, and you think, how do these children survive? But anyway, it made our machinery work, and that was a good thing. But it's not easy working with a church with no walls and no windows and a lot of brightness, but it just about worked. And the team that was there could not believe. Here we are standing in a work site with 264 children in this building, sitting on plastic chairs, and sitting on whatever, to hear the word of God day by day. And that was the thrill of it. And we tape a lot of recordings of it and put them on Facebook. Billy sees them coming through every week on Facebook, because he's on with us. And you know, the joy of just seeing children and children coming back in. But the first morning we arrived at this church, the church with no walls, some of the team that had never been, they'd never been with us before, and the number that come, and we turned in when we arrived at this church. And he says, hello, Tommy, how are you? And I looked at him, and I says, wow, Nathan, is this your church? No, he says, this isn't my church. I go to another church. But we have walked here. Now, some of these children walk up to 3 miles to come to Holiday Bible Club. So Nathan turns around, and I says, Nathan, how old are you? He says, I'm 11. And he turned to the lady standing beside me, who was a lady called Joy Walker from Points Pass Baptist. And Joy was one of the ones, I would say, probably was one of the ones that was a bit apprehensive about. When I was 5, Tommy led me to Jesus. and I'm not 11, and I still love Jesus. And Joy, you can see the tears welling up. Children do come to faith in Christ at 5 and 6 and 7. My wife was saved at 9. My daughter was saved at 4. And if you ask any of them, they say it was as real to them to that day as it is today. And so don't underestimate the power of a child's faith in the Lord Jesus. And so thank you for the opportunity. If you're interested, some of you folk have been supporting us. We should be 24, chapter 24. I'm probably old-fashioned in a way, but I don't always have titles for sermons. I just get up and say, this is what the Lord wants me to share. So I had to get a title for this one. So I thought about it. At least he gave me 3 days. And it's the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Brian mentioned already there this morning about a lady who passed away last week, last Sunday morning. Well, they're my neighbours. Literally, the lady who died, her son lives next door to me, Tim. And you know, I went round, my wife went, and whenever I went in, Stanley comes over and we started talking about the things of the Lord. And Stanley, he made an interesting comment. And I come out and I said to my wife, did you hear what that man said? He said, Tommy, I loved her to bits. I loved her to bits. He said, Lord, if you want to take me to heaven, I'm ready to go right now. And I would be very happy to go. Such was the love for his wife. And the sadness that came to that family, so unexpected. And you think, how do you... This is happening all the time. It doesn't matter whether it's 23 or 24. It comes to us all. And you've come into church this morning, and maybe you've got a smile on your face, but in your heart, you're broken. And in your heart, there's a sadness. And nobody knows anything about it, and you just want to be lifted. And you want to go to church lifted. You ever come to church and you go out as if you've got a good beating? And you go out and you think, boy, am I even saved? Oh, what was that? Oh, really, it was a rough one this morning. And you think, phew. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to go out of church this morning. I'd love you to go out of church this morning. Like the disciples that came back up the road from Emmaus saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? Go out of church this morning just skipping, knowing that if God was to call you home today, it's into the presence of Jesus. Chapter 24 and verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What a verse. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That makes all the difference, whether it's in a church, or an individual, or a marriage, or whatever. When the Lord draws near and goes with us, everything changes. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Jesus. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have as ye walk and are sad? There's the word sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But Jesus they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that these prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went. And he made as though they would have gone further. And they constrained Jesus, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon. May God bless just that portion of scripture that we have read together. The story of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, I'm sure it's been preached many times in Abbots Cross, and there are those of you here today, I'm sure, who have preached it, and you have your own thoughts. And sometimes whenever you are a preacher or you do preaching, sometimes when someone gives the text or the thought, suddenly begin to think, what's he going to say? And your points are already going through your head, what you're going to say. And then you're trying to work out, where did he get those points? Are those off the internet? Or are those somebody else's? Well, this morning, I just want to keep it simple. It's a message. It's not a sermon. It's just a message that I felt the Lord laid on my heart to share with you folk here in Abbots Cross this morning. I don't know you all. I don't know what you've come through this last weeks or months or even years. But one thing I do know is that if you're here this morning and you love the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, He wants to draw near to you. He wants to draw near to you this morning, and He wants to draw so near that you actually will feel His presence with you. And you will rejoice in the midst of all that maybe will happen today or happen this year or has happened, that the Lord Himself can draw very, very near. There's an old song that used to sing, What a Difference a Day Makes. I think it was by Diane Washington that sang that. And what a difference a day does make in the life of the Abraham family. Last Sunday, setting off to church, and at 9:30, when Cynthia said to Stanley, I don't feel well, I think I need to go out and sit in the car for a moment. And Stanley, he says, I'll take you home. Now, I'm telling you the story that was related by Stanley to me himself. And he said, I brought her home, Tommy, and got her into the house. And she said, The boots are a bit tight on me, Stanley. Take my boots off. I think I'll lie down. And so he actually got her ready for bed and says, Cynthia, just rest. And before 10 o'clock last Sunday morning, Cynthia had gone into the presence of Jesus. For Cynthia, you know, that was a moment of glory. I love the text and the scriptures. And I said to my wife, if ever I'm on my deathbed and the preacher comes to see me before I die, the pastor says, what will I preach at your funeral? I'll tell him, preach Luke 16. Do you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus, heaven and hell? Well, here's what I love. The rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels. I said, that's my text at my funeral if you get there in time. Tommy was carried by the angels. What a chauffeur. Imagine four angels come along and pick me up and take me into the presence of Jesus. But for those who are left behind, and as I said to Stanley, the sting of death has gone, for Cynthia has gone. But the sting of death is still here for you and your family. Because Jesus wept at the grave. He knows exactly all that's going on. Then another family rang us to say that a lady that we know very well rang to say that her brother had taken cancer and it had just been through his whole body, and after a short space of weeks died and went into the presence of we don't know where. Because we're not going to judge. What a contrast. And I went to that funeral, and what a difference it was to Cynthia's, because we were able to watch that one online. And then we got a phone call to say that another dear friend that Philip and Catherine know very well up there in Coleraine, Reggie Crozier, who was with CEF, gone out and had a meal with his wife in Boystown Hotel, got into the car, and died before he even got the car in the gear. But was carried by the angels. Carried by the angels. You know, hearts are breaking all the time. Hearts are breaking because of what we call death. And sometimes as believers, we're not immune to these things. Maybe you've lost a loved one. These two disciples, along with many other disciples and other followers of the Lord Jesus, them all, had now faced something that they did not expect to face. They did not expect that Jesus, at the age of 33 years of age, would be put to death. This was not on their horizon. This was not something in their thinking. And suddenly the Lord Jesus is taken, put to a false trial, whipped and beaten and crowned. And they're watching this all and they can't understand what's going on. Even though the Lord has told them, this is what's going to happen, they couldn't grasp it. As far as these believers and early disciples were concerned, that this one Jesus was here, and he was here for a purpose. And that purpose was to lead Israel to victory. That was their thinking. This is our man. We have got the man that we've been waiting on for years. And now he's here. And suddenly he's gone. They watched the cruelness of man at his best when it comes to destroying one's body. And these disciples, they've heard, it's the first day of the week, it's Sunday like this. And these disciples, they really don't know what to do. They've heard different aspects of what's going on, and women have come back and said they've been to the grave, and the grave's empty. Angels have spoken, an angel has said this. But for these two men, one is called Cleopas. For these two people on the road to Emmaus, as far as they're concerned, their world has fallen down around them, and nobody's ever going to put it back together. Because their hopes and dreams were all in the Lord Jesus. And these men are broken. These two followers are broken. And on the road to Emmaus, they're having this conversation. And they're talking it all over. And the amazing thing is that Jesus himself draws up alongside them. He's a stranger, because they said, "Are you a stranger? Do you not know what's been going on here the last few weeks? Wow, this has been crazy. This has been one of the worst weeks of our lives. We have seen man doing his worst. Are you a stranger?" And Jesus turns around and he says to them, "What manner of communication is this?" In verse 17. "Why are you walking down this road, and why are you so sad?" Amazing, Jesus knew the answer. It's not often we come to the Lord sometimes and we start talking to the Lord. Have you ever told the Lord something and afterwards you thought, "Why did I do that?" Sure, he's all knowing. Why did I say that? But humanly speaking, we will do it, don't we? And the Lord comes alongside them and he says, What's this all about? What's wrong, you folk? You're walking, you're sad. You come to church this morning, you walked in, but you're sad. Your countenance is low. What's wrong? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that have come to pass in these last few days? Don't you realize this has been serious?" Jesus says, "Tell me." And so these men explain what has happened. They've taken Jesus, they've crucified him. Their hearts are broken. And they're just pouring out their heart. You know, sometimes you just listen to people and let them pour out their heart, because it's broken. And sometimes something comes out and you just think, ignore that piece. That's just a broken heart. That's just a broken heart. Is there any mending for broken hearts? So Jesus listens. I just encourage you this morning, if you feel broken, just pour out your heart. Because Jesus will listen. He's one of the best listeners. And he will listen to your heart, even though he knows it. He says, just tell me, what is it? And these men just pour out their broken heart. And here's what they said. We thought, we trusted, in verse 21, we trusted that it was going to be Jesus that was going to redeem Israel. He was our political leader. We thought he was the man. We had put everything in that basket. He was the person that we had everything tied up in. He's dead. You can fully understand what they're thinking. These men who, along with many, many others following Jesus and disciples, had all their hopes and dreams in the Lord Jesus Christ, and suddenly he's gone and death has come, and all they know is that death is final. Because the one who brought life back from the dead is now dead himself. So there's no more resurrection of Jairus' daughter. There's no more resurrection of Lazarus. This man's dead. We had hoped that it was going to be him that was going to redeem Israel. You know, whenever Lazarus died, you think of the two sisters. The two sisters thought exactly the same as this. Their hearts were broken through death. And it tells us that in the book of John 11, whenever Jesus eventually comes, it's 4 days later. Do you know, whenever Jesus comes, here's what Martha says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's almost like, Lord, it's your fault. It's your fault, Lord. And so if you're praying and you're not getting that answer, it's okay, it's still an answer. Jesus is saying, wait. Then eventually Mary comes, the other sister. And what does she say in 11:32 of John? She says, the very same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus looks at two, he looks into the lives of two broken women, broken hearts, broken through death. They've buried their brother. There's no hope. He's gone. He's wrapped up now in linen and he's in the tomb and his body's beginning to decay. Lord, it's too late. Where were you? And Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Because he's seen the pain of your heart and what death would do. But then we know he brought Lazarus back to life. And these disciples know all about this. But suddenly the giver of life is gone. There's no hope left. And sometimes the old devil jumps on our shoulders and he says, he's gone. There's no hope left. Why are you so interested in this religion? Why are you so interested in going out to church? What are you looking for? He's gone. Well, he is gone. The Bible says he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he says, and I will come again. I will come again. And so, men with broken hearts, on that road to Emmaus, Jesus himself draws alongside these broken hearts. He asks them the question, what's wrong? They share their heart. They come to the village of Emmaus. They're about to go in. And as they're about to go in, Jesus, as it were, was going to go on ahead. And they said, "It's the day is far spent. It's getting dark. Come in and spend the evening with us." It was a tradition in the country to give people, even strangers, a place of rest and food. And so Jesus went in with them. And as he goes in with them, these men haven't a clue who he is. He's a stranger. But Jesus done something on the journey. He did a Bible study. Have you ever been to church where you wish the pastor would just keep on preaching? And if you're being honest, you're probably thinking, wrap it up, brother. Wrap it up. But have you ever been to a Bible study where you went, wow, I could take another hour of that. That was good. You ever been to one? Many a pastor really doesn't like watches. Because after a period of time you see people doing that. And you know they're checking the clock. We all do, don't we? And we've been in services where it becomes more and more and more boring. When you think, oh dear. Isn't it amazing how you can sleep in church? It's amazing how you go to a Bible study and you really get tired. Isn't it? And as soon as the meeting's over, bang, you go out and you talk for Arnold. You stand in the car park and talk for Arnold. But in that, these men weren't going to sleep. These men had just been given one of the best Bible studies. Jesus began to talk to them and says, from the book of Moses in chapter verse 27, from beginning that Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures. These two men couldn't believe. This guy's a stranger, and boy, look at the knowledge he has. And it's all coming off the top of his head. He doesn't need notes. He's got it all in here. And I told them all about Moses, and maybe about Israel going through the Red Sea, coming out of Egypt, and through the Red Sea, and going into the land of honey, Canaan, and all those scriptures just flowing out of them. Do you know why I said it was one of the best studies? Because those men's hearts that were broken were now blessed. Because one of them said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the way? Well, I can see Cleopas turning to the other, and there's different people who have ideas who this other person is. If you've got who it is, that's fine by me. When I get to heaven, I'll find out who it really was. But you know, I can hear Cleopas turn around and saying, wow, I don't know about you, but boy, I'm on fire. I just want to get it out. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And the other one turns and says, you think you're blessed? But I'm blessed from my boots to my head. Wow, I've never been in such a Bible class. Oh, I feel so blessed. And Jesus takes the bread and he broke the bread. I don't know what happened, and I could be totally wrong, but if you're a theologian this morning, forgive me. But I get the feeling, when Jesus done that, they saw the nail prints in his hands. I could be totally wrong, but that's my picture. And when they seen the nail prints, he's gone. And Cleopas turned to the other and says, where'd he go? Where'd he go? That's Jesus. That was Jesus. And he was with us all the time and we didn't even realize it. Oh, do you ever feel so stupid? Oh, Cleopas, you think you're stupid. I feel dumb. There he was all the time and us sent him. Are you a stranger? Do you think... Wow. The things that we said to that man, he actually was Jesus. And yet he took it. And he just opened the scriptures. And he set our hearts on fire. If you're in church this morning and you're a Christian and you're cold, let God rekindle the fire. Let God rekindle, let him rekindle the fire in your heart. Let him draw alongside you. Let him become your teacher again through the scriptures and through the power of the Spirit of God that will open up your heart to God's word and let him set your heart on fire. Wow. Do you ever drive along and turn something on in the radio or in the car? I'm almost trying to say CD or cassette, but it's not even those things. But if you're old enough, and my car's old enough to have a CD in it, and I have one in it, and I come down the road, I'm sure when I get to the end of York junction, never have the call. People look at me and saying, he's on the phone talking. I wasn't. I was singing away the song and the thing, and there I was singing away. I can't sing, but there's nobody else with me to get away with it, because my wife says, she says, you can't wait till you get to heaven. I says, why? She says, you're going to get a new voice. You're going to get a new voice. I say, well, that's okay. But the Lord says, it's a sweet smelling savor and praise. If you have breath, praise the Lord. Isn't it good to get up this morning? You know, after Cynthia died, and we've done 3 funerals in this last few days. And every morning I wake up now, I woke up this morning and said to my wife, says, this is becoming a habit. I woke up this morning, the first thing I said, praise the Lord, she says, why? I said, I'm alive. She says, well, what do we do if you're dead? I says, I'll be singing it in glory. Praise the Lord, I'm alive. Isn't it good to be alive? And it's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord. Broken. Blessed. And you see, when the Lord blessed them, they received a burden on their hearts. Now, the word burden, I want to use the word burden and the burden in the right context this morning, because, you know, the chorus we sing, blind eyes made to see, burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's burdens of sin. But these men, these two people, look, they've got a new burden on their souls. You know what it is? To go tell about Jesus. They had just traveled a road 7 miles from Jerusalem. And it's dark and it's dangerous to go back out again. But Ty, they weren't worried about the danger that night. One turned to the other and said, we got to go back and tell the others in Jerusalem. Because they're back up in Jerusalem and they're not in good shape. They're all back up there and they're having a pity party. We need to go and tell them, this is not a pity party. This is a praise meeting. Let's get back. Let's get up that road again. They were so burdened to go and tell the good news. We have seen Jesus. We have had a Bible study. And most of all, He is alive. Verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed. Wow. What a message. What a message to come back up the road. I don't know, and again, if you're a theologian, don't scold me at the door. But I think those men came back to Jerusalem quicker than they went to Emmaus. I think they probably would have won the London Marathon or the Belfast Marathon, because when they found out this is the Lord, He is risen, He's gone. Oh, we got to go back, because our brothers and sisters back home in Jerusalem, they're all concerned about this. They're worried about this. The Roman government is pressing hard on them. Hey, let's go back and tell them. And they got out and they made that journey back during that night, and the Lord kept them safe. And they came back and they found the other 11 and they said to them, the Lord is risen indeed. And they're only in the midst of telling it, and suddenly who comes in? Jesus. Jesus comes in. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. You can come to church this morning and feel the world is crushing you. And you can leave church this morning knowing that Jesus lives. And this is only for a short time until we see Jesus. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, be in time. Can I ask you this morning, if you're a church, are you saved? Have you ever given your life to the Lord Jesus? Can you say this morning that you've been born again? Are you ready that the Lord should come to take you out of the scene of time? If you're not ready, get ready. Jesus died on the cross for you, died to save you. And He died not only to save you, but He died to walk life's journey with you. He won't leave you. He'll never forsake you. There are times when you feel, Lord, where are you? And maybe there's a day, and maybe 2 days, and 3 days. Lord, where are you? Then you look back, and you go, wow, He was there. He was there all the time. Circumstances just seem to cloud it out, like it did for these men on the road. But suddenly when Jesus opened our eyes, let the Lord open your eyes afresh today. As a Christian, let him open your eyes and see the goodness of knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of coming along this morning and sharing from your word. I just want to come this morning, Lord, and just wanted to share a message to encourage people, to encourage believers. And encourage them, Lord, to keep going on for Jesus. And maybe, Lord, there are those in church today and it's been a struggle. Christmas has been a struggle. They've lost a loved one. They've lost a friend. There's an empty chair. The voice is silent. Lord, just like these disciples, they didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. But Jesus himself drew near. Lord, draw near to every one of us today. And bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just say, if you're free tonight, we'd love to see you. Tonight, again, Brian says, have you got a title? Well, I knew what I was preaching on. So I give the title, The Voice. Now, don't come tonight with your singing behind closed doors and we'll listen to you. But tonight, The Voice. And another time just to encourage you tonight again, because there is a voice above all voices that you want to hear every day. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's stand together and sing Horatio Spafford's lovely hymn as well, With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, we
heard a song like that for a long, long time. Thank you, Albert Cross. And isn't it good tonight, or this morning, we can say, it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the sky, not the grave, is our goal. And thank you, Lord, this morning I can say from my heart, it is well with my soul. I pray, Lord, if there's any in church this morning, and it's not well with their soul, that this morning, Lord, that we get right with you. And those of us, Lord, who are saved by grace, Lord, lift us again to newer heights. Lord, lift me up and help me stand on solid ground. Lord, thank you for this opportunity this morning. May we go out of church today saying, did not our hearts burn within us? Because Jesus himself drew near. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Maybe we got the easy bed first.